Please sit comfortably. So, good evening, everyone. The talk tonight, in some ways, is a book review. And the book, which I just finished reading recently, you may have come across it in the media. It's called The Buddhist and the Ethicist: Conversations on Effective Altruism, Engaged Buddhism, and How to Build a Better World. And the authors are Shi Chao Hui, who is a Taiwanese Buddhist nun who's written books on Buddhist ethics, and Peter Singer, who you may know of, who is an Australian professor of ethics, I think in a chair in a university in the US, and has written many books on ethics, and in particular on animal rights. Mm-hmm. So that's what the book is about. I read it mainly out of professional interest because, as you know, I've written a manuscript on Buddhist ethics too, and I wanted to see what they had to say about it and whether I could learn something from it or whether I'd missed something. These two people, I assume by their commitment and involvement and reflection on ethical issues for their life, you know, through their lives, are people who are very empathic, very altruistic as human beings, and have obviously reflected on these issues very, very deeply in their own life. And so the nature of the book is a conversation, and the conversation is between Peter Singer, representing utilitarianism, which is a particular philosophical form of ethics, which is based on the principle that we make moral decisions based on the greatest benefit for the most amount of beings, not just human beings, in his definition of it. And Shi Chao Hui is coming from a Buddhist perspective, which is often frequently the golden rule, you know, is to treat others the way you would like to be treated yourself. There's a bit of a tension between those two views. They don't overlap entirely, but their dialogue is around that. When I asked myself the question after I finished reading it, has it helped me to make better moral decisions? And I listened to my answer, and the answer was a resounding no. Mm-hmm. Which is not a matter of different disrespect towards their work or anything, but there's a few criticisms, would be too strong a word. A critique of their work is the subject matter of the book is about the first precept, which is not to kill. And it's only on that, and they're defining Buddhist ethics simply on that first precept, when, as we know, there are 10 precepts in the Mahayana tradition. And if I remind you of them again, the first one's not to kill, not to steal, not to misuse sex, not to lie, not to intoxicate the mind, not to speak of others' faults, not to praise oneself, not to be possessive, not to indulge in anger, and not to diminish or demean the sacred, right? So it's one out of many. And so it's not all inclusive, you know, if we look at what the whole of Buddhist ethics is. While I'm sure both of them are altruistic people, and in particular in Chao Hui's experience, a very committed meditator as well, what I found was the book was very intellectual. So it's trying to make decisions based on discursive thinking and logic. It made me question, is really that how much does that take a place in the way we make moral decisions in our life? Intellect certainly comes into it. There's information we need, and there's logic we need to follow. But it seems to me that the primary place from where we actually make our moral judgments and decisions in our life comes from empathy, and it comes from a sense of conscience. And it also thrown into the mix is a sense of restraint. Like, you know, like with, you might have a self-centered need to lie, but you go, no, that's not right, that's not wrong, so you stop it, for example. And when we look at the Dharma as a whole, as we've talked about before, there are three main components to it in practice. There is the cultivation of insight, which is basically the not just the intellectual understanding, but the felt sense that there's no fixed self here. And the other way of saying that is that everything is interconnected. Everything is a whole. You can't just talk about separate things and separate parts. Everything is connected to everything else. So the more we get that clarity in our experience that everything is interconnected, then that naturally leads to more altruism and more empathy. Because if everything is myself, then I would want to look after others as I would myself. So it comes from that place. And the other aspect of practice is meditation. And it's through meditation that we develop a much more refined sensitivity, particularly through the body, that's clearer, more discerning. Mm-hmm. And if we go back to the reading we had tonight from Stephen Levine on opening to the body, remember those last lines actually dovetailed very well into this talk, is that when you're connected to the body, you find a morality that goes beyond precepts and commandments. Mm-hmm. So what he is saying there, you're in touch with the heart and the gut and your whole being at that visceral level. Somehow being in touch with that and outside of the intellectual zone, that in itself is kind of like your radar that directs you how to decide things in life, do you know, how to act in life. Because through that experience, you develop empathy. It's central ingredient in ethics. Doesn't matter how intellectual you are, doesn't matter how many PhD theses you can write on ethics from a logical point of view, that in itself is not necessarily going to make you a more ethical person. It's the cultivation of the heart and the empathy and the sense of connectedness to something larger than myself is really at the core of it. Don't have much more to say than that, but other than to say, to summarise it, it's not just about the first precept of killing. There's all these other precepts, and there's this threefold practice which makes up the practice. If you just studied precepts without the other two, well, it would be beneficial, which is often what lay people in Asia do. They don't meditate or read text so much. They're just told to follow the precepts. I'm sure it's good for them, you know, to do that. But you don't really cultivate that deeper, broader experience without the other two components of it. With the first precept, no killing, let me say a little bit more about that as well. When you read the book, there is a kind of feeling of it's moving you towards there's a right way of doing things. You know, you shouldn't, like Peter Singer and the Buddhist nun are both very strong on, they're both vegetarian, you know, very, very strong on animal rights and so on. And so there's a sense of right and wrong to it, or if you follow the logic, this is where it leads. when I wrote my own chapter on the first precept, no killing, I was at pains not to try and turn it into a commandment, or that you should be vegetarians, or you should not believe in euthanasia, whatever it might be. It was really, as a Zen teacher, but also in what I wrote, what I'm encouraging people to do is to think independently rather than follow a line. You know, so you come to this group, it's not compulsory you're a vegetarian or not a vegetarian, or you all believe in euthanasia or you don't believe in euthanasia, or you're all aligned with the progressive left of politics or the conservative right. I don't care. You know, it's open to everyone. What I do care about is that through the practice of meditation and the practice of the precepts and insight, that becomes your guide as how you decide things in your life. It's not about a group experience. We're all Buddhists, so we've all got to think this way, you know, or whatever it might be. So it's really, that's the place I'm coming from, is that I really want people to do the practice. And then that refinement that comes, that discernment that comes from wisdom and that opening of the heart, that'll guide you. And the other thing is, we don't live in a perfect moral universe. You know, and we don't always know absolutely what we're doing around some issues as to whether they're right or wrong. Some things seem clearly right or wrong, like to me, lying to people would seem wrong, clearly, or stealing, you know, or being abusive to other people. But the issues around not killing, if we name them, like, just name all of them. There's the killing of animals, right, for food. There is the death penalty. There is termination of a fetus. There's euthanasia. There's the death penalty. And there's war. I think I've covered all of them. They're all the areas where humans may choose to take life or not take life. And people have, you know, very different views on it. And when I wrote the chapter on that, that chapter I treated very differently from the other ones, because that first precept has a lot of ambiguity in it, whereas the others aren't quite as ambiguous. It's much clearer that lying is self-centered, you know, or intoxicating the mind leads to poor judgment and things like that. But whether there's a right or wrong to being a vegetarian or not being or being a meat eater, or whether some wars are justified and some aren't, depends on context. You know, I can't in myself find some unifying intellectual principle that tells me what I should do through all of these situations. And I think that the nature of Buddhist ethics is it's all to do with context. In one context, termination of a fetus might be the best thing to do, right? In another situation, it's not. In another situation, protecting yourself from sociopathic invaders might be a good thing to do. Another situation, it might not. So the trouble with the intellect is that it tries to make these absolute statements about things which we follow, and then they become commandments. Right? Then they become commandments. And once they become commandments, they're rigid views that are not adapted to each situation. So our challenge is to see that moral decisions in our life are kind of like a koan, you know, and we just kind of sit with it, and there's some intuitive process emerges that we've got to make a decision one way or another. Right? Like, say, for instance, with an unwanted pregnancy, you either terminate it or you keep it. You know, there's no neutrality to it. Everyone's required to make a decision. But those decisions come from a full, heartfelt experience. The intellect comes into it a bit, but in my mind, it's not the main game in our decision-making processes. So anyway, I thought I would just share my thoughts on on that book.